Old Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hey guys, I am back. Luke Scanlon here with episode 5 of Alt Down Under. And would you believe it, it's 2024. I hope you guys have had a great couple of weeks since the last episode, our chat with Dulcie. And have had just a great Christmas and New Year. Happy New Year. I don't know when you stop saying that. I don't know if you find this at work with emails or people you speak to at work. I don't know when the cutoff point is in January where you stop saying that. Does it last the whole month? I have no idea. But I just wanted to tell you a quick bit about my amazing Christmas and New Year. I was lucky enough to have my good friend, my best mate, Rabs, Luke Rabbits. Yes, two best mates with the same name. He was over here, flew out to Melbourne, middle of December. And then we went on an amazing road trip. Actually racked up, I think it was around 1,400 miles. So we covered some distance. We managed to get the camper van wedged at one point, luckily, we had a bloke there with a 4x4 and a tow bar that was able to get us out of our situation. Because honestly, if we were stuck there, we would have been there for a good half a day, I reckon, just watching the world go by. So thank you to that man that we named Lachlan. I have no idea if that's your real name, but thanks very much, mate. And yeah, just some of the beaches we went to was amazing. Saw every bit of wildlife you can imagine. Wallabies, we saw rays in the sea, kookaburras, snakes, lizards. It was the full Aussie experience. So I'm glad my mate got to have a proper taste of all that this amazing country has to offer. So yeah, I'm definitely feeling a little bit fried in the new year. So I've kicked it off with kind of like a week-long hangover. So it's not really new year, new me. It's just kind of new year, get over old me and then see where new me arrives, I think. So that's where I'm currently at. And I've also learned on the trip, don't fuck with oysters, because I went swimming in this river up in Brunswick Heads in New South Wales, and I was getting out, foot slipped on a rock, and I just sliced it straight down the edge of an oyster. And sweet Jesus, I feel like it was their revenge for me eating so many of them at the Sunday markets, because my foot was spliced open in a bad, bad way. So I did think I need stitches, couldn't really walk for about a week, but I think it's pretty much healed. And a good friend of mine today said to me, God, mate, can you imagine if you looked at that under a microscope, the amount of tiny little creatures that would have been in that cut? I was like, yeah, cheers, mate. That makes me feel a lot better. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, with that disgustingness out the way, how about we get on to episode 5 of Alt Down Under? You'll be hearing my conversation with none other than Declan McKenna. Declan has been all this way from his and my native UK over Christmas and early Jan, and he's just played Heaps Good Fest in Adelaide. I was actually lucky enough to go to the New Year's Eve leg of Heaps Good. That was in Melbourne, and oh my lord, what a way to ring in the new year. It was just, honestly, the place was just fully in party mode. It felt like proper festival mode. Normally, I don't know if you find this, on New Year's Eve, there tends to be a weird vibe. There's a weird atmosphere. Everyone's not quite themselves. They don't really know what the vibe is. It's the end of the year. Are you sad? Are you happy? I don't really know. But there was definitely no sadness at Heaps Good. And earlier in the day, we had the brilliant Holly Humberston and Griff. They smashed out amazing sets. Then the Avalanches came on with their kind of like unreal disco-y, funk-inspired electronic sound that they bring to the party. And Foles, my boys, they absolutely tore it up. You can go back and listen to episode 3 of Alt Down Under, where I had a brilliant chat with Jimmy, the guitarist, Jimmy Smith from Foles. And oh man, their set was just superb. And it was at Sydney Meyer Music Bowl in Melbourne. And just that, with the backdrop of the city behind it, the amazing kind of arc stage that is there. Oh man, it just genuinely tingles down my spine thinking about it. And the timing of, there was some 9:30 fireworks that went off, and it was just in the middle of their set, and it was just so cool. It was actually, Jimmy went, yeah, we paid extra for those after, and I was like, fuck yeah, it's so good. Then later on in the night, we had Flume. He brought out Vera Blue and Maya, who were amazing. They honestly like made his set so, so good. And the light show that Flume had was just, just really glued his set together perfectly. And that, of course, set things up beautifully for Basement Jacks, who were there just before midnight, counting us down, and then bang, into their set. And it was just, man, people were pretty loose by that point, let me tell you. A lot of suspect boogieing going on, a lot of sunglasses being worn, and I think just everyone there was loving life. There's just a real strong excitement for the new year, and as I said before, just a carnival atmosphere, and just brings a big, big smile to my face thinking back on that night. So much fun. Oh, I also forgot to say about my trip. If you do have the chance or have been there before, you'll know what I'm talking about. Get yourself to Garry Island up in Queensland. It is honestly the greatest, most beautiful place. This is how big Australia is. It's an island that has a beach that is 75 miles long. It's the biggest sand island in the world, and it's just stunning, man. I'm pretty sure I'm still picking sand out of the nooks and crannies on my body and finding it everywhere still, but I would just 100% recommend a trip up there. It is beautiful. And I've now like taken on the zen of my tour guide. We had like a ride along thing. We all got to drive 4x4s. And the leader of the party was a guy called Mick. And he spent up to 300 days a year on the island. And boy, could you tell. Because he was proper like, guys, if there is like a little issue, we had a breakdown of one of our 4x4s. There's a little issue. We just get around it. It's all part of life's lessons. We move on. We build. And I was just like, I don't think anything can wind this man up. It's incredible. Not that I did try and wind him up, but it could be quite a fun game to play down the line.
Alternative down under.
Okay, on to episode 5 for real. As I mentioned before, he also was at Heaps Good, but the Adelaide leg on 6th of January. My guest this episode, Declan McKenna. Mr. Declan McKenna, how are you, sir?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I did apologize before we start recording because you are speaking to me as your last interview. How many have you had to do this evening?
I guess it's been, four or five. Yeah, five.
You're looking pretty fresh, to be fair. You're looking fresher than I am. I've just woken up, man.
I'm so surprised. I'm so surprised by that, but yeah, I feel like I've gotten more and more energy as I've gone along, as I've like switched on. I think I started a bit groggy, and now I'm just full Declan McKenna mode.
Is it kind of like, you know, when you get to like day 3 of a festival and you're like just fucking delirious from talking to people?
Well, it's like delirious but also sharp. Like, it's a bit different because I don't know, like I'm just learning to talk shite for an hour and 15, and gradually you just get better at it. So
beautiful, beautiful. If there's one thing we can take away from this, is you're a goddamn pro.
Yeah, I am. I totally am. Sometimes maybe I need to start doing a warm up interview so I get into it before the actual interviews. That's what I'm learning.
Damn straight. Well, to actually kick us off, mate, there's probably only one place we can start. You coming down this way, down to Oz and New Zealand. 6 dates in total, playing Heaps Good in Adelaide. I have to ask, mate, are you a good traveller? What are your hot tips for the long flight?
I have to be a good traveller because I spent half my life travelling, but I don't...
You make a very good point.
I don't like flying. I tell you what, like I'm always trying to really plan, but I plan so much for the flight that I like bring too much stuff. And then it's like, I've got just shit everywhere. Like I've got like headphones, I've got like my AirPods and my headphones, I've got my laptop, got books, which I generally don't read. Bringing one of those neck pillows is sometimes good, but sometimes then you want to take that off and then that's just lying around.
Yeah, it's a clunky bit of neck furniture.
Yeah, I'm not very good at the whole flying shtick. And to be honest, I think I've got a 6-hour flight to Doha, which will be fine. And then 16 hours after that. So that will be that's going to be a stress, because I've done something like that to Japan, maybe not quite that long, but yeah, it's
pretty brutal, man.
It is brutal. You just save a lot of stuff on your phone, bring a book, but also you just don't take my advice, because I would bring too much stuff and just get frustrated.
Yeah, everything what I've just said is complete rubbish. Nice,
I'm
man.
Trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. Are you that guy that always has too much luggage? Because you do wear some pretty jazzy garms on stage, and I can imagine you have a bit of a conundrum trying to pick what the hell you're actually bringing.
I bring too much luggage everywhere I go. Like, absolutely. Like, I feel like I'm always the person with like three bags. Like, just awkward with the third bag that they don't know how to carry. Like, I've got a guitar, I've got an amp and a Pelly case or a suitcase. I just feel like I'm always that guy just lugging stuff around and hurting his spine on the train, trying to move stuff out of the way of people. Like, so when it comes to flying, like, even worse. Like, if I can get on a flight with like one backpack on my person, like, I'm performing a miracle, because I always want to bring instruments with me as well as clothes, my recording gear. I always bring recording gear with me and then don't use it. Like, I think I'm going to try and be very sensible for this New Zealand Australia trip is what I'm thinking, but who knows really at this point.
On to the new album, which is coming out, What Happened to the Beach. Mate, you've had, yeah, I think it's three singles, isn't it, so far, that Nothing Works, Elevator Hum and Sympathy.
Yeah,
all great tunes. I'm loving those tunes, man. And I saw Radio X in the UK gave you two Record of the Year nominations, which is awesome. It must be quite a weird feeling always, like, releasing new music. Do you still get that kind of that buzz from doing it, because it's kind of just releasing your creations onto the world?
Yeah, it's almost like relief. Like, you're just like, oh, finally this is out. Like, because you know, you're constantly changing as an artist, and like, you want people to see it, and like, for a while you're just like, I'm at this point, but everyone only knows what it was like sort of 3 years ago. And yeah, you just want it to be out there. It's weird. Like, I find releasing music in this day and age, like, you get like one day of doing the release, and then everything after that is so like staggered, you know. It's all on the internet, and like, it's just all changing so much. But this is the world we live in, and it always turns out great in the end. So that's kind of that's it, really.
With that, on the flip side, is there ever a nervousness with releasing your tunes, do you find?
Yeah, I feel quite excited about this album, to be honest. Like, I definitely have. I think releasing the second album, I was nervous, but I think it was just nervous time, and it was, you know, the first thing after the first album, which had kind of just taken everything to a really crazy place. Whereas now I just feel a bit more self-assured, and like, when I'm releasing music, I'm pretty sure that I like it, because I've been working on music for years now. So I'm just like, I know, you know, I just know that I have to rely on my own taste with it, and know that I have to rely on that, because if I'm trying to rely on what I think other people will like or anything like that, then, you know, it's just a losing game from the start, really. And you always wind up unhappy with it down the line. So yeah, I just try and back myself as much as possible. You have moments of weakness, like anyone does with it, you know. You're like, oh, is this really what I'm doing? Do I really think this is any good? But at the end of the day, you just have to be like, yeah, I love it.
That's it. And Joe, you know, is really weird, because you're only like 25 now, right? It's weird. It feels like you've been around forever, weirdly. Does it feel that way to you? Does it all feel quite new, or are you still kind of feel like that first time artist who's a bit bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with the whole thing?
It has changed, but you know what, I try and take inspiration from myself so much, because, you know, when it comes to a song like Brazil, for example, which started everything, like, there's something about that song which is just completely unadulterated by anyone. Like, I was just making music and I thought it was good at the time, and that's the only reason anyone ever liked it, was because I just liked it. And you know, and Max as well, who produced it, you know, made it happen as well, and it was just really the two of us doing that. And there's something brilliant about that, like that now I just, yeah, as I say, I try and take inspiration from, because there was no one telling me what to do. It was just me doing my thing. And like, though I've changed a lot, like, as I say, those sort of things, like just backing yourself and having a sort of self-assuredness, you know, and confidence with making music, really. And it doesn't mean being cocky, but being like, just trusting your own ideas, because what else can you rely on? Like, when you're being creative, you just have to go for it. Like, if you have any restraint or any fears going into it, which everybody experiences, but if you can't let go of it, then you will just hold yourself back. So I almost try and carry that energy and spirit of just like, I'm just going to do, you know, enjoy it, make music as a hobby, and absolutely do my own thing. But, you know, I suppose with a little bit less sort of mad energy that I would have had when I was 15 and when I wrote Brazil, and just like, yeah, complete and utter human embodiment of like insecurity vibes.
Yeah, nice. It's great you say that, man. And it's great that you do have that self-confidence, because that's something, like, having obviously never met you or spoken to you prior to this conversation, that's something that I got as a fan anyway. So the fact you fans are getting that off you is great. And you definitely are an artist, it feels, that does go their own way. And the change up in styles that you're putting out there is amazing as well. And like, yeah, it feels like you're bringing more, like, I don't know if flamboyance is the right word, but to your live performances and your on-stage presence, there's that, yeah, element as well. So have you been aware of wanting to add that to the live repertoire as well?
Yeah, I just really want to create the energy at the shows that people just feel like they can do whatever they want. Like, you know, creating a sort of disinhibited crowd as much as yourself is like really important, and just letting people feel like they can let loose. Because the worst thing is feeling like you're playing to a crowd where everyone's like got their arms crossed, you know, and like they don't want to dance because they're worried about how everyone's seeing them, or I don't know, whatever that is. So that's really important. And yeah, I just like to push the boat out a little bit. I've got some, you know, influences as well that I sort of lean into quite heavily with it. And I just try and live music is all about energy and creating an environment, and like, that's really what music is all about. And I just really, it's a place for me to be the most expressive version of myself. Like, when, you know, it's not always like that. And like, you get this moment to be up there where the best thing you can do is sort of be larger than life. And it's, and that's great. And I think that is just what I try and find new ways of doing as I sort of develop the show, you know, as I have done over the years, is just to keep learning about how the whole thing works and how to best go about it, maybe with a bit more restraint sometimes than I would have done when I was 19, trying to crowd surf every 5 seconds or whatever. Like, I, you know, because I love the sort of rock and roll energy of it all. But that being said, like, if you can sort of portray yourself as a total weirdo on stage, then which, you know, isn't a complete untruth, then it makes everyone else feel like they can just let loose and have a good time. And that is what you want.
Yeah. I wanted to ask as well, mate, because obviously you did come through quite young. I spoke to a brilliant Aussie band called The Grogans in a previous episode of All Down Under. I was asking them about the kind of music scene that's growing in Australia and like the community within that scene. How was it back home in the UK in terms of artists and stuff, or like even older artists that perhaps have reached out and given words of advice? Is there anyone that's done that? And in terms of like people similar neck of the woods and at an age as you, is there people that you speak to quite regularly?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, just a lot of people who are just my friends, really. Like, there's a really good scene where I live in Brighton. You know, there's some bands coming through here that are great. And like, I think the main stuff that we sort of try and talk about and share is the music. And like, when you have, I think the best thing about sort of the shared community with artists is like being able to be really honest with each other about music and be like, this is great or this is not great, or like, why are you holding back here, or like, why?
Yeah.
Or like, the weird one is like, if someone changes a song that you've heard before and you're like, why the hell did you change? Like, that was great. Like, why? And they're like, but they'll like fix a lyric. This is a classic thing. Like they have some weird lyric and then they'll get embarrassed about it and change it. And you'll be like, that was the best line in the whole bloody song. I've done it, like everyone does it, but like stuff like that.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of artists coming through. There's a band called Soft Launch here in Brighton who are basically comprised of a good few of my friends down here. And they're just about to, I think, do really, really well for themselves because I think their album is super, super good. So they're down here and we're always talking about music and stuff. And all of that sort of thing.
Are the Egyptian Blue Boys down? Are Egyptian Blue down in Brighton?
I don't know, but I have seen them supporting the Murder Capital a few years ago.
Unbelievable band. I think the Magic Gang live in Brighton as well. I think. Well, they did at one point. I think they might have moved back to London now, but they were down there at one point.
I'm sure I have met the Magic Gang a few times before, but I haven't seen them down in Brighton. But there is, as I said, there is a lot of band called Lime Garden as well, based down here.
I interviewed them last year, man. Annabelle, the drummer. What a band they are.
Yeah, they're awesome. And I've seen them play just around the corner at Patton's, and like they've got really good energy to their live shows. So they're starting to do really, really well as well.
Yeah, I love them. Anyway, Declan, if you're ready, we'll take a trip down to the Dream Gig venue.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Oh, I love this band. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The Dream Gig venue. Step this way.
All right, first off, you have to give me the name of your dream gig venue and the capacity.
The name and capacity. It's going to have like a really goofy name because all the best venues have like the goofiest name. It's going to be like Ronnie's Dispatch. That's going to be the name. Old Ronnie's Dispatch is going to be the name of the venue. It's going to be a 750 cap. I think this is the unmatched capacity.
Really?
Best one.
Not too big, not too small.
Well, I don't know. It depends. Exactly. Like you really want that medium size, but like probably on the smaller side of medium size, because it's probably going to sound good in there as well if it's small enough. And then what else is there? Sorry.
I'm just trying to get over old Ronnie's Dispatch. The next thing you have to tell me is what is the dress code at old Ronnie's Dispatch?
Everyone dresses as pirates. I think because it's old Ronnie, who's definitely a pirate. And then I think it helps everyone let loose. It helps everyone just, all right, you know, they can just be.
I was going to say, he's a pirate. Could you still perform with an eye patch on?
Yeah.
You looked at me like, of course.
I performed with ridiculous sunglasses on. I performed with glitter in my eyes. Like, I can perform with one eye or two eyes closed. I can do it, I'm sure.
The face you just pulled, it looked like that was the biggest doubt anyone had ever thrown at your career. Can you perform in an eye patch? Is the Pope Catholic?
It's a folk Catholic, exactly.
Oh, amazing. Okay, mate. Well, next up we have the free drink on tap. What are you going for?
Milk. No, sorry. I'm vegan, actually.
Almond milk.
Yeah, almond milk. I don't know. It would be funny. My friend Kira was walking around on New Year's last year with what she was calling Christmas milk, which was like, I don't know, it was like Tia Maria or something with like milk.
With
and so I
didn't Bailey's? Have
every, yeah, Bailey's, I think. Something like that. I don't know. I didn't have it, obviously. And everyone who had it about half an hour later was like, I feel so unwell. So I'm just doing a venue where there's a free drink, but it's Christmas milk and everybody's just getting sick. I don't think that's a good idea. I think what would be a good idea is probably vodka Red Bull.
That's a superb idea. Everyone off their heads as pirates.
I'm just thinking energy, alcohol.
Yeah. Okay. Boom. I love that. I'm very intrigued as to what you're going to pick for this. What free food is going to be available?
What kind of music venue is this?
Mate, I'll tell you what kind of music venue is. It's the dream music venue, Declan.
It's got to be something kind of light. Like, we can't have pie. We can have, like...
something from Greg's. I was trying to tell my Aussie mate about Greg's the other day. They were like, what the hell is that?
probably quite hard to explain, is it? Yeah.
It is. It's just kind of shit pastry, but good.
It just fills the hole every time. It's fine. You know what? It's just going to be like, I want to say crisps, but I just think, I don't know. Like,
crisps are great.
Yeah.
Have you got a go-to? I've got to be chili sensations for me. That's
okay. All right. One. Fancy,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do like those ones, to be honest. Like, my go-to is generally like salt and vinegar, whatever.
Any brand? Or you like a Monster Munch Man?
I like the kettle chips. The one that I always come back to, McCoy's salt and vinegar. That is like the most bog standard crisp, but at the same time, like, you can't beat it. The density, the saltiness is just right. You get a good potato taste out of it as well, compared to Walkers. Walkers don't taste like potato, which is great.
Master Chef is your calling. But just crisps.
Master Chef. We're serving salt and vinegar McCoy's anyway, is what I'm going to do. Because I don't want everyone having a meal at the vent. Like, we're not going to... They might need a bit of a top up, but like, for God's sake, eat before.
Yeah, come on now. You got to be drunk. Not eating a three course meal. Okay, next, we have two more items left to rattle through. Okay. This can be dead or alive.
Supported dead or alive. Oh my God. What? So I can have the mamas and the papas as a support act.
That'd be amazing.
I think that would be, can you imagine? That would just be off the chain.
Are they also dressed as pirates?
I mean, to be honest, they could just wear their normal shit and I don't think anyone would question it, really. No one would know who they were until the last song anyway. I did, haven't they, though?
Mums and Papas is support for Declan McKenna. I'd like to see that poster, to be honest. And finally, again, this can be anyone in your private life, anyone famous. Who's doing the security on the front door?
Oh, God. Old Ronnie the pirate is doing. Old Ronnie and his gang of pirates are the security. It's gonna be the safest venue around. Nobody will fuck with
that. Do you reckon you'd have a checklist as well that you'd have to meet?
Yeah, booty. He's gonna be looking gold, silver.
Yeah, bottle of rum.
Exactly. This is how you can get into the venue for free. There's a secret. You bring Old Ronnie a bottle of rum or some gold. Crate of gold and he'll let you right in the door.
Brilliant. Oh, Ronnie, good vibe. The wheeler and dealer pirate.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's not a great venue without dodgy security.
This is true. Let the riffraff in. Well, Declan, that is the end of your dream gig venue. Thanks ever so much for your time and joining me on Alt Down Under, man.
Thanks for having me. Thanks very much, Luke.
Alt Down Under.
Man, oh man. Milk, eye patches, and mamas and papas. The brilliant mind there of Declan McKenna. Might be the most bizarre dream gig venue created. My thanks once again to Declan coming on the show and dropping by for a chat. And a man that does not travel light. I hope his journey back home was all right. And he didn't get too waylaid with all of his new garms that he undoubtedly brought whilst he was down here in Australia. And less than a month now, 9th of February, his new album, What's Happened to the Beach, will be coming out. So keep your ears, eyes, and everything else in between peeled for that one coming out. Because, yeah, the singles that have come off that already are just dynamite, man. This is a real, real strong album coming from him. So, yeah, get on it. Get involved. Alrighty, that is pretty much all for episode 4 of Alt Down Under. Feels like we've been around for ages, probably because I went away for a couple of weeks. Do apologise for that, but life got in the way. I'm fully blaming that, my best mate, for all of that, for the absence. And I did have a slight illness as well, so probably all self-inflicted. But we are back, baby. We are back strong. And next time out, next week, episode 6 features my chat with... I actually love this chat. My chat with Ruby Cannon, a great upcoming Melbourne artist. At the end of last year, she dropped a new EP, Ruby and the Cannons, that landed then. She's just got this brilliantly retro, soulful sound that permeates her work. She's just a real, just unique talent, I think, at the moment. Someone doing things a little bit different to those around her right now. And yeah, I mentioned on a past episode, she had this amazing musical education after road trips, just going to and from school and work with her dad. A lovely little story to bring in next week. If you thought Declan McKenna's dream gig venue was pretty out there, well, Ruby's is, how would I describe it?
How would I describe it? Probably, just pure chaos. So, yeah, make sure you look out for that one. That'll be with you next week. In the meantime, like, share, tell your mates about us. We'll keep growing this. Thanks ever so much. Catch you next time.
Alternative Down Under.